Probably go too long. Cool. How many of you guys? How many of you guys had like a significant event happen to you recently? Anything have? Anyone have something like really big? Maybe a birthday or something? Yeah. What do you have?
My grandpa died this Monday.
Oh, I'm really sorry for that. I'm really sorry. Did you know your grandpa really well?
Well, he was my great grandpa.
Your great grandpa. Anyone else? Yeah, you back there. What'd you have? Your birthday. Everyone, give him a round of applause for his birthday. Yeah. What significant do you have happen? You went where? You went to Urban Air? Is that where you float?
I broke my...
Oh, is that the trampolines? Is that the trampoline thing? Oh, that's pretty cool. That was... Yeah.
I broke my foot at Urban Air.
You broke your foot at Urban Air. Were you at his birthday party?
No.
Oh, no. Hey, did anyone have anything life-changing happen to them? Have you had anything ever happen to you that you were like, man, that was life-changing? Yeah, what'd you have happen?
My nephew was born.
Your nephew was born? That was pretty life-changing. Awesome. Yeah. Yeah, what'd you have? You went to a retreat?
I opened up my heart to a lot of people.
Yeah, it was life-changing?
I didn't think it was.
That's awesome. Yeah, what'd you have life-changing happen?
When
you moved, where'd you move from?
Maine.
From Maine, down here? Nice. Anyone else, something life-changing? Yeah, what'd you have life-changing happen?
My brother was born.
Your brother was born? That's awesome. That's really cool. Yeah, what'd you have happen? Your sister was born? All right, well, let's think about this. So those were all life-changing things that happened to us. Can any of you name something that was really world-changing? Big events in history that were really world-changing? Yeah.
Trump.
What?
Trump.
Trump is world-changing. Yeah, what'd you... What? Well, hold on. What? The Olympics was world-changing. What else was really world-changing? Yeah. You broke your arm. The world will never be the same. What else? Yeah, what else? Super Bowl 51, world-changing. Yeah, what was world-changing? What? Afghanistan was world-changing. Things happening in the Middle East. That was pretty serious. I like that. Yeah. What? School. World will never be the same again. Yeah, what was world-changing? What? ISIS was very world-changing. Yeah, back there, up in the corner. What was that? Discovery of the what?
Exoplanet.
Discovery of the exoplanet. I don't even know what that is. Hey, okay, well, here's the next question. When something really big happened to you, or when something really big happened in the world, what was like the first thing you did? Yeah. You panic or jump for joy? What about like, how many people did you go tell when something life-changing happened? Do you go and tell people? Like, how did you tell people? Did you freak? Yeah, what'd you do?
The first thing you want to do is look on the internet, because most media isn't true. It's mostly false and clickbait.
Okay, so when something big, he's saying when something big happens in the world, the first thing he does is he goes to Google, and he's like, is this real? Did this really happen? Or is this like some fake news stuff, right? Well, you know, when something really big happens, you know, something really big happened in my life. You know, we had our fourth child, and I remember, like, when we found out we were pregnant, we went and told everybody. Like, we were so excited. We just, like, ran and told everyone we were pregnant, and we were really happy. When we moved, some of you moved from Maine down to here, or when you've ever moved before, like, when you find out you're moving and you're going to be in a different house or something, you go and you tell all of your friends. Have you ever felt that way? Have any of you, raise your hand if you've ever had so much information, or, like, a piece of information that was so big you were just so excited to tell everyone about it? Okay, you've ever felt that way before?
I have.
Okay, I want to read something real quick from scripture. This is from the first letter of John. So this is from an apostle that knew Jesus. And these people that knew Jesus, they felt the same way you felt. They felt like, holy cow, something big happened and we got to tell you about it, okay? And when you read this, they're talking to you guys. They're talking to you and trying to tell you about something crazy that happened, which maybe you could look up on Google and find out if it really did happen, right? So listen to this. This is from the first chapter, the first letter of John. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest. We saw it. We testify to it. We tell you about it, and we tell you that which we've heard and seen, we proclaim to you so that your joy might be complete. So these people in this letter in the Bible, these people are saying, hey, we heard something, we saw something that was so crazy, we feel like every single person needs to know about it. And they say it again, they say, that which we've seen and heard, we've touched it with our hands, we've touched something that has changed the world, something that's life-changing, that's world-changing. They want to tell everyone about it. And here's the thing. How many of you, raise your hand, how many of you believe God exists? Raise your hand if you believe God exists. Amen. Awesome. Okay. How many of you, okay, let's just take a moment with that real quick. The fact that there's a God that exists, if that's all we knew, if all we knew was that, you know, you look up at the stars and the universe and you're like, whoa, that's crazy. If all we knew was that God existed, that's it. All we knew was just like a God, a thing called God exists that's infinite and eternal and all powerful and omnipresent. He's everywhere. If that's all we knew, that would be crazy. That would be enough. That would be crazy, like that this thing called God exists. But then what's even crazier is something else happened. Something else even more world-changing, life-changing happened that makes it even crazier that God exists. And this is the thing that happened. Jesus was born. Amen. Give me some. There you go. Jesus was born. That's the thing that happened. Right? So it would have been crazy enough that God exists. But there was this man who was born in a period of history, a period of time. If you read the Gospels, it talks about a certain time in history that this man named Jesus lived. There are these historians that you can find. They're non-Christian historians. If you look up scholarly articles, there are these historians that talk about there's this man named Jesus who lived. This man named Jesus who lived. And this man named Jesus said he was God. And he proved he was God. And so even crazier than the fact that God exists is this even crazier idea that God became man. God became man. How many of you have ever heard that before? Raise your hand if you've ever heard God became man. It's pretty nuts. And we hear it a lot. I think, you know, especially in the United States, I think we've had Christianity here for so long that we've heard this so many times that sometimes we forget how crazy it is. We forget how crazy it is that God, this big eternal thing, this like infinite, everlasting, eternal being would become God. Everyone, like, put your hand out like this right in front of your face. Like, look at your fingernails. Jesus, who is God, had fingernails. Isn't that crazy? Touch your hair like this. Jesus, who is God, had hair. Punch a person next to you on the shoulder. Yeah, and if any, okay, now stop punching the person next to you. Okay, if any of you, if that hurt, okay, stop punching the person next to you. Hey, look up here. Jesus felt things. Jesus was God and he felt stuff. Okay, now give the person next to you a high five. Okay. Jesus had friends. Okay, look up here real quick. So Jesus was God. He proved that to us because he died and he rose from the dead. And there were people who saw Jesus after he died. And these people went all over the world telling others about this man named Jesus who they saw die and then rise from the dead. Now here's an raise your hand if you ever asked yourself this question, if you ever thought this. Why did God have to become man? You ever wondered that? Why did God have to become Jesus? Why did God come as his son Jesus? Like, I always remember, like, being at Christmas time, you know, like, I mean, you celebrate Christmas, and, like, your parents, you know, they put this little, like porcelain baby Jesus, like, this little tiny cute Jesus. Like, put this little manger under the tree, and you're like, oh, that's cute. And then your mom's like, you know, yeah, God became man. God became people. Like, Jesus came, he was God. I remember my parents, my mom, she would bake a birthday cake every year for Christmas, and it got really awkward because, like, we'd have a birthday cake and we'd sing happy birthday to Jesus, and then me and my sister would be like, so who blows out the candles? Like, that's really awkward. Like, so we just kind of like leave it there and just like let it burn. No, just joking. My mom would actually burn up the candles. That's kind of weird. So it's really crazy that God became man. And I want to tell you three reasons why God became man, okay? So say love. Okay, now we're going to...
we need to increase the audience participation, all right? When I say love, you say love. Love?
Love!
Forgiveness?
Forgiveness.
Greatness?
Greatness.
All right, love?
Love.
Forgiveness?
Forgiveness.
Greatness. So God came in. Why did the Word become flesh? Why did God become man? Why did Jesus have to live and die for you? The first reason is for love. God loves you. God became man, the Word became flesh, because God wanted to reveal what type of love He has for you. How many of you have frenemies? Any of you have frenemies? You have like friends, they're like kind of friends, but they're also kind of enemies? Yeah, that's weird. How many of you just have straight up enemies? Okay, cool. How many of you have really close best friends? Awesome, awesome, awesome. Hey, this is what's crazy about Jesus, right? Everyone else who came and talked about religion, everyone else, like all the other religions, you think of any different religion, like Buddhism, Hinduism, all these other religions involve a guy who would come and say, hey, I found out a way to transcendence or a way to enlightenment. Jesus was different because he said, I am the way. And when Jesus showed how to love people, he was showing God's love, right? So what I find interesting in my life is that it's really easy to love people who love me. It's really hard to love people who don't love me. Amen? Anyone else have a problem? Yeah, no. All of you just love your enemies? So everyone say love.
Love.
Everyone say forgiveness.
Forgiveness.
Everyone say greatness.
Greatness.
So the first reason God became man, and then Jesus came, was to show us God's love. The second reason is for forgiveness. So everyone say forgiveness.
Forgiveness.
How many of you eat dinner with your parents sometimes? Oh, I'll take a question again. How many of you eat dinner with your parents? I want to tell you a story. So there's a story of these two boys, right? These two boys, they always go out and play in the evening, and they have to come back by the time dinner's ready. But they keep coming home late. So they go out, come home late, their parents would get upset. So their dad says, look, kids, when you go out to play, if you're not back by the last streetlight being out, if you're not back, you don't get dinner. If you're not back in time, you don't get dinner. And so the two boys go out to play. They're like, yeah, Dad, we understand. They go out to play, and then the streetlights start coming on, right? So one of the boys gets home on time. He gets home on time, and his dad's like, all right, good. You got home on time, here's your dinner. And then the second boy, so the family sits down to eat dinner, and the second boy comes walking in, and he's just sad. He's like, oh, man, I know that I'm not getting dinner tonight. And he sits down at the dinner table, everyone else is eating dinner. And the father looks at the son, and he says, you know, you were late. He says, yeah, I know. He said, you know that I told you if you were late, you're not getting dinner, right? Yeah, I know you said that. He said, okay, I just want you to know that. But then what happened next is crazy. His brother, who had food, his brother turned to his dad and said, Dad, I want to give my food to my brother. Is that okay? His father said, yes. See, in our lives, we do things wrong sometimes that deserves punishment. Like, we deserve a consequence for the thing that we do wrong. The crazy part about Jesus becoming God, becoming man, that Jesus coming, is Jesus wanted to show you that even though we sinned, he wasn't going to just say, oh, that's okay. He doesn't look at your sin or the things in your life and say, oh, that's fine. Just like, don't do that again. But he sacrifices his own life for us. So everyone say forgiveness.
Forgiveness.
So, three reasons Jesus became man, God became man. Love, say love.
Love.
Say forgiveness.
Forgiveness.
The last one is greatness, okay?
Greatness.
Say greatness.
Greatness.
Say it like you mean it. Greatness.
Greatness.
Say it from some greatness.
Greatness.
I'll tell you another story. There's this farmer. This farmer's walking through a forest. He's walking through a forest and he's doing all this farmer thing that he does, just kind of walking. And then he finds an egg. He picks up this egg. He's like, oh, what kind of egg is this? So he brings it back to the farm. And so he puts the egg with the other eggs, with the chickens. He puts this egg with the chickens, and he watches this egg. and one of the hens starts sitting on this egg. Eventually this egg hatches. And it turns out it's a baby eagle. But the eagle doesn't know it's an eagle. So the eagle starts acting like a chicken, because that's all the other chickens are there. And the eagle is walking like a chicken, talking like a chicken, and acting like a chicken. And one day the eagle is walking out of the field. He's doing his eagle thing. Chickens can't fly that high, so the eagle never really fly. He just kind of do a stupid chicken, like that kind of thing. You know, because chickens can't fly super well. And so this eagle is walking out of the field, and he's next to one of his chicken brothers. And he sees this eagle soar overhead, really high. It's a huge eagle. And it's swooping and soaring off the clouds. And the eagle looks at this other chicken and says, "What is that?" And the chicken says, "Well, that's an eagle. But don't look too much at that, because we're chickens. We can't be like an eagle. See, eagles fly in the sky, but chickens have to be down on the ground. And they can't fly up there really high." And that eagle lived the rest of his life believing he was a chicken. One of the reasons Jesus came was to show you what greatness looks like. Everyone say greatness?
Greatness.
See, because until Jesus came, we have all been living like chickens. We think we're chickens. And when you go to school and your friends tell you, like, "Hey, just do this, it's okay." Or, "Hey, like, don't listen to your teacher, that's okay." We believe that that's all we are. We're just chickens. We're not called to greatness. The reality is that all of us are eagles. The reality is that Jesus came to show us that we can be so much more. So much more. But we're believing this lie. We're living like chickens. So Jesus came to show us that we can be great. So say greatness.
Greatness!
When we live in the way that's comfortable, when we live in a way that's comfortable, and we don't live the way Jesus showed us, we act like chickens, we don't act like what we really are. So say identity.
Identity.
Jesus came to show us that our identity is greatness. So you have the ability to act great, to act like Jesus. How many of you have ever tried to do something really great, something really challenging? Was it hard?
Yeah.
It was really hard?
Yes.
I want to tell you another story. There was this father, and he had this little son. And this little son, he's like a little boy. He was trying to lift up this huge rock. And so he gets down, it's like a little kid. There's this huge rock, and he's trying to lift it up. And his father's like standing way back here. And he can like see this little boy, his son, trying to lift up this rock. And he knows there's no way he can lift it. So you see this little boy, like, gets both his arms, and he's just like, "Argh!" And so his father, realizing this was a teaching moment, his father says to the boy, his father says, "You're not trying hard enough." And so the little kid's over there, like, "Oh, gosh, you're not okay, fine." And he tries harder. His father is like, "You're not trying hard enough." And so the kid's like, trying even harder, he's like, wiping his sweat off, he takes off his jacket, and he's like, "All right, I'm really going to do this." He's trying to lift up the rock, and suddenly his father starts getting more upset and starts walking closer to his son. And he says, "Timmy, you're not trying hard enough." And Timmy's trying to lift him. And he's like, "You're not trying hard enough." Until finally, Timmy's crying. He's just like, "I can't try any harder." And his father's like, "Yes, you can. You're not trying hard enough." Timmy's like, crying, he's upset. He's like, "I don't want to lift up the rock anymore." And his father's like, "No, you get back there and you try harder." Till finally, Timmy says, "I don't know how to try harder." And his father says this, "You weren't using all your strength." Timmy's like, "What? Like, I'm sore? I'm sweating? What do you mean I'm not using all my strength?" And his father looks at him and says, "You never asked me for help. You never asked me for help." See, God became man to show you that he can give you help. He can give you help. He wants you to act like him. Jesus said, "Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." That's pretty nuts. That's pretty hard to do. But the second reason that God became man is to have us participate in his life, to give us aid, to give us help. So when we set out, if you today heard this theme of greatness and you said, "I want to be great," Pope Benedict, who was a recent pope before Pope Francis, he said, "The world offers you comfort, but you weren't made for comfort, you were made for greatness." Say greatness. You weren't made for comfort, you were made for greatness. The world offers you comfort, but you weren't made for comfort, you were made for greatness. And if after today you decide, you know what, I'm going to start acting different. You know what, there are things in my life that I need to change. Maybe I need to start hanging out with different people or trying to pray every day or do something different. There's something different I have to do. I'm going to tell you this. You can't do it if you don't use all your strength. And Jesus came to show us that we have so much strength in God. Because in God, all things are possible. Right? So say love.
Love.
Say forgiveness.
Forgiveness.
Say greatness.
Greatness.
The world offers you comfort, but you aren't made for comfort. You're made for greatness. Greatness is your identity. So after today, stop acting like chickens. Realize that you are a son and daughter of God. That God has an amazing plan for your life because he loves you. And sin, the way that you act whenever you avoid greatness and act comfortable, sin separates you from the plan God has for your life. But if you want to be great, say greatness.
Greatness.
If you want to be great, you have to ask for help. You have to ask for help. So the Lord wants you to be great. The Lord wants you to be a saint. But you have to ask for help.
So here's what we're going to do right now.
Let's just pray and ask God for help. And I'll end with this story. Some of you might have heard this story. This story changed my life. There was a man who was captured during the time of Germany where there were concentration camps during the Holocaust. There was this man that was captured. He had a few sons and a wife, and he was in this concentration camp by himself. And there was this time where if prisoners escaped, the soldiers in this concentration camp, in this camp, they would start killing some of the prisoners. And they would say, look, if people are going to escape, we're going to start killing people until these people come back. And so this really intense situation happens, right, where this prisoner who has a family and children, there are some people that escaped, and this prisoner was picked to be killed next. And so right when the soldier comes up to him, the soldier says, look, we're gonna kill you next. And this guy says, oh my gosh, he breaks down in tears. He's like, I have a wife and kids. And down the line, there was another prisoner, a man by the name of Father Maximilian Kolbe. And Father Maximilian Kolbe was in the camp as well. And he had not been chosen to die. But he steps forward and he says, spare that man and take me. I am a Roman Catholic priest. Put me in place of that man. So the prisoners kind of confused, and they kind of say, okay. They save that man's life, go to family and kids, and they take Father Maximilian Kolbe, and they take him to this starvation chamber. Basically, they just lock a bunch of prisoners up, and they just don't feed them. And there are stories that Father Maximilian Kolbe, in that prison chamber, would encourage the other prisoners, would sing psalms, would pray, would encourage them to be great, would encourage them to have faith in God. And Father Maximilian Kolbe was one of the last people to die. And he spent his life serving and giving up his life for someone else. Years later, Father Maximilian Kolbe was canonized as saint. Saint Maximilian Kolbe. You can look up on Google actual pictures of him. And at the canonization, the Pope said that his sacrifice and his victory was like that one on the cross. Father Maximilian Kolbe lived great. And he lived the way Jesus lived. He offered his own life for someone else. The man who had a wife and children was there at his canonization. And so what I'm challenging you guys is to ask for help and to seek greatness. So let's pray. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for sending your Son to show us your love, to give us forgiveness, and to call us to greatness. God, I ask that you would give us help to resist sin and temptation, to resist comfort, to seek after you, Jesus, to seek after greatness. And we pray all of this in your most holy name, as we pray all glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
All right, guys. That's it. So, I think we're going on to another session now.
Woo!
Yeah!